Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in the ring.
Hey, welcome back to another edition of Leader in Ring Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas. So I got Adner Morris scheduled to come on first thing this morning here on 9 a.m. in a beautiful day. Well, actually, I haven't even went outside. I'm lying to you. I haven't even went out there yet. But I'm hoping it's going to be a beautiful day here on Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope not everybody's going crazy and nuts in their home while we're still on self-quarantine. I know some businesses are starting to open up. I know where I'm at, they're starting to open up. A lot of folks walking around like if they never exist, that coronavirus. So, you know, I don't know how it is in your city. You can call in 347-215-7598. Let's talk boxing here on Leave the Ring while we wait for Adner Morris. I found it really interesting. I thought it was great, man, to really see like, at this point, at this stage right now, where we're at, right? Think about this. If where we're at, fighters now being even more active of what's going on. Being more active on social media than in an actual ring. I mean, it's like the best thing we can get at this moment. You got Gervonta Davis calling Devin Haney an email champion. Jorge Linares calling Ryan Garcia. You know, internet champion saying he needs to go get a belt. And then you got Ryan Garcia going at it with everybody. And one of them is Adner Morris, which I'm waiting for. I just texted him right now just to let him know that we are waiting for him to come on the line here so we can talk to him and stuff, you know. Let me check to see who's in the chat room really quick. Oh, man, it's nice there in San Francisco. That's good to hear, brother. I can't wait to go back to San Francisco, you know, go to the wharf and have some clam chowder, enjoy that, you know. Last Father's Day, I went out there for my family took me to Alcatraz because I'm a big Alcatraz guy. I've read a lot of books about the escape, you know, the big escape and those inmates never been found. I won't get too much into that because I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to something like that, but... You know, anyways, going back to what I was saying, you know, and then you got like Evander Holyfield saying I'm back and Mike Tyson, folks are entertaining that. I mean, we touched a little bit about it. I told you how I felt about that, you know, Mike Tyson. I'm not playing too much into it, you know. Okay, so Adner Morris is telling me he's on already. Let me patch him in. Let's patch in Adner Morris here on Leave the Ring. Adner, ¿qué pasó, bro? Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here, man. How are you doing?
Good, bro. Good morning. First off, man, thanks for coming on such an early time, you know?
Nah, it's good,
bro.
How
are you?
I usually wake up at 8, so I'm good. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me on.
No, man. Thank you for coming through, bro. I appreciate it. First off, bro, how's the familia? How's everything going? How are you guys dealing with the COVID-19? How's it been for you?
Yeah, you know what? You know, hard times, obviously, for everyone all around the world, worldwide, you know, because, we're just living in a different world, you know, different way of living, basically. But, if you're asking me personally, this is, in a way, it's not so bad for myself because I'm a big family man. I'm usually with my kids, with my wife, you know, I'm a home type of guy, you know what I'm saying? The only difference
right now,
obviously, you know, is that the whole world is like this, you know what I mean? Like the restaurants are closed, things like that. But, I'm okay. I'm not too edgy or too like, you know, like I can't wait for everything to go back to normal. The only thing is basically my job. And I think that's where everybody's hurting, you know, getting back to,
right,
to their usual, you know, work and getting paid.
Exactly. No, I feel you, you know, and I feel everybody out there they're not able to provide for their families, and they have to depend on the government and, you know, the frustration that a lot of folks are having at this moment, you know. So I wanted you on for two things. Here's the reason I wanted you on today. Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about what Ryan Garcia, you know. I forgot to introduce you as the old man onto the show, bro. I'm sorry. I should have introduced the old man, Adnan Morris. Joining another old man, Dave Duenas, on Leaving the Ring, man. It's been some time since I've had you on, but let me go back real quick of what I was saying, why I wanted you on. Two things. I've always, you know, I've spoken to the fighter many, many times. So I want to speak to the fighter, but then I want to speak to the commentator, Adnan Morris. Okay?
Okay.
So first off, let me speak to the fighter, and which is, how do you feel, man, when you see a young and upcoming guy from the Golden Boy stables call you an old man? When you caught that right away in your tweet, on your timeline, what went through your head?
Felt like an old man. I think my back started hurting right after I saw that message. I didn't take it personal. You know, it is what it is. You know, the kid's young. I think he's like 20, 21. You know, it's that new generation mentality. You know, no respect towards, you know, their elderly, basically. You know,
right.
You know, well, been there. We've been that age where we feel indestructible, and we feel like, you know, you don't have to show respect to anyone. And, you know, and that's what he does. You know, he's a well-known kid on social media. He's got a lot of followers. And at the end of the day, I think and I'm going directly at him because it's exactly what it is. You know, he's believing all the bullshit, you know, all his fans are feeding him, including his promotion, you know, which is telling him he is the best in the future. So, again, I don't blame him. He's trapped in a world where, you know, he's just being pampered and he's being treated like the nickname he has, a king.
The king. Now I had read somewhere that, I think it was on Boxing Scene, I could be wrong here, but I had read somewhere that you were up in line to face Gervonta Davis. Was that true? And if it was, what happened? Why is that dissolved, and why is it now Santa Cruz?
Yeah, no. Thank you for asking that, because I get a lot of questions every time I post. You know, me wanting to fight someone is like, what happened to King? I mean, what happened to Tank Davis? You know, are you scared? Weren't you fighting then?
Right.
So obviously, you know, we had a fight scheduled last year in February, early February, and unfortunately, I got injured. Right. So, you know,
right.
That didn't go through. He ended up fighting somewhere else in a sold out arena that, you know, we both filled up, you know, more than anyone I did. It was here in my town. I remember getting a call a couple of weeks before the fight from my company telling me that they oversold tickets and that people wanted to go to this fight, so they had to add bleachers. And I'm speaking, and I'm talking about the StubHub Center that is now known as the Dignity Health Center here in L.A. So, I mean, it was
right.
A sold-out arena when I was going to fight Tank Davis. So, unfortunately, like I said, going back, I got injured. You know, I had a eye injury. So that happened, and so I had to be away. You know, I had to get some time off and heal properly. So going back, I told Mr. Rao and I told the company, hey, you know, if possible, you know, could I get the Tank Davis right away, you know? And, you know, being directly, they told me, well, it really depends on, you know, where he is in his career, you know. I'm like, okay, cool. So right now, basically what's going on with that is that he's got already a scheduled, you know, fight against Leo Santa Cruz. And that's beyond the shoot. You know, he already got ahead of me. And, you know, I'm not hating on him. You know, he earned it. And he's up next to fight Tank Davis. So I'm basically, that's where it is. So when people ask me, when are you going to fight Tank? Well, you know, I can't. So he's got a fight coming up with Leo Santa Cruz.
Right. So where does that leave? I mean, where does that leave you with your promotional company? I mean, do they now like put you back in the back burner, or is that up to you to figure out?
No,
you want to face
not at all. No. Yeah, it's basically, you know, if I can't have that fight, you know, there's other fights. Believe it or not, we were thinking of a doubleheader prior to all this COVID-19. We're thinking of a doubleheader that was scheduled, I think, in May, June. It was going to be Leo Tank and myself, and you know, we were still in the works when all this happened. So, you know, it would have been great. And the reason for that doubleheader was because, you know, the winner of each, you know, the main and the co-main will eventually meet up in the next fight. So that's what we had in mind, you know, prior to all this. So, and I'm just basically I was looking for an opponent. You know, they had mentioned Gary Russell, you know, which again, it's a big name. He's a world champion, but not at 26.
A great fight.
Because I don't see myself going back to 26. But it would have been a great fight.
Starving yourself.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And in the past week, I've been called out by, you know, Jojo Diaz, which, you know, in my eyes is not a bad fight either. He holds a title at super featherweight division, you know, at the IBF title that he holds. And also Jamel Herring, Jamel Herring, who is a WBO champion. So, I mean, all these are great fights. So I'm basically not like urging, like, oh my God, I need a fight, or I need a Ryan Garcia. Like, you know, a lot of people are writing there like, oh, you're just trying to get a payday. No, really, I think I'll get paid more by any of these world champions, because Ryan honestly is not a world champion. He is just a big name on social media.
You know, let me ask you this, because I can't be alone in this. When I'm reading some of the comments from some of these people that are on Twitter, I cringe so much. I mean, how much do you cringe? I mean, you're a guy that went to the bantamweight tournament. You did a phenomenal. You were undefeated for a very long time. You were fighting the best available that were around. I mean, some really tough guys. I remember one year you were just going through every single fight, taking on every guy that had an undefeated record. You were the man. When you read some of these comments of people defending Ryan Garcia by telling you, you need to go do something, that your record is not that good too, How bad is it for you to bite your tongue, not to respond to these people? Because you know you're going to get sucked in for not even a minute.
Yeah.
You're going to be sucked in for hours arguing and trying to convince these guys about your resume.
Yeah, you know what? I take a deep breath, and then I remember that, you know, this kid's following, and that's just being honest. It's mainly kids that don't know boxing. You know, it's not a big boxing, you know, following that he has. It's mainly, you know, girls that they are attracted to the kid. You know, kids that are, they look up to him, which is that's good. You know, everybody needs a role model, but his generation,
right,
you know, they don't know our boxing, you know, history basically. So these are basically non-knowing boxers, fanatics. You know, so I don't take it to heart. It is what it is. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to tell you, I think we need a Ryan Garcia in our boxing. I'm not hitting on him. I actually like it because it brings a different crowd into the sport, you know, that boxing needs, and boxing is evolving, and I get that. But when people start commenting shit that they don't know, it's ridiculous. You know, it gets to you, like, bro, like, you don't do your homework. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
but yeah, that's basically what I am. I can't hate on the kid. I can't hate on this following. I get a lot of messages and people talking smack and like mad shit. And then I go back and look at their profile picture, and it's a 12, 13 year old kid, bro. Like, ah, oh, man, I, you know, what are you gonna do to
right.
that? I can't. Is
Ryan Garcia our Tekashi for boxing without the snitching though?
Nah, not at all. And anyway, I think he is I think Tank Davis is more of a in that area.
Right.
Brian Garcia is just the pretty boy of boxing, like the Oscar De La Hoya basically, but now with the phone and social media platform that Oscar didn't have back then. Oscar just had the TV, which was humongous, and that's why he became the superstar that he was. And but with merits, you know, coming back from the Olympic and gold medal Olympian and a great fighter. So that's what I'm saying with merits. Like, this guy really, like, you know, he was a shit, like, he was a boxer. You know? So he created
right.
Oscar, and speaking of Oscar, he created all that hype. because of his looks, obviously, and a great, great medium.
Mm-hmm.
And now with King Brian, it's a new generation. Now you got the platform of the phone and social media and videos and this and that. We live in the world of YouTubers, bro. Like, nowadays you look for resume, like, what do you do? I'm a YouTuber. Everybody's a YouTuber now. Everybody's, some type of influencer,
right,
on social media, any type of influencer. So, new generation.
Yeah, we definitely compete with those guys. We definitely cannot compete with those kids. Because they are just far light years ahead of us in terms of knowing how to use social media, man. Let me ask you this: how do you describe Ryan Garcia in terms as a fighter, as a person? In your opinion, how would you describe him? If you're on the PBC network, mm-hmm, on your show that you do with Sean Porter, how would you describe him?
I would describe him as a teacher. I'll describe Ryan Garcia as a great fighter,
mm-hmm,
that is on his way to greatness and boxing with the help of his promotion and management, that they're doing a phenomenal job, honestly, of taking this kid. We are hating on him because he's not fighting the talent or the great fighters that we want him to face. But, I mean, being real, he's not ready. And every single fighter, including myself, was taking that route in a way, where you had to build up your record, get those fights, and even more so with him because I don't believe he is a beast in boxing. I just feel that he has, everybody has something in boxing, whether you're fast, whether you pop, whether you move a lot, whether you're a pressure fighter, everybody. And this kid, he's got a pop, he's got power in his hands, but not yet has he faced someone that has pushed him or really tested him, but because the company and the management doesn't feel like he's ready for that yet, and which I don't blame him. He's
right,
a product of a company that they're investing in, so... I mean, it makes sense, if you're investing money in the kid, you're putting money on someone that's a product that you wanted to grow, you're not going to throw him to a lions right away. So, again, I just feel that he is the future. I've always said that David Haney, King Ryan, Teofimo Lopez, Tank Davis, and I'm sure I'm forgetting many, many other names. They're the future. It is what it is. Their age, their momentum, the what they're doing right now. With social media, they're taking it to another different level that we are yet to have to get accustomed to, and it is what it is. But once you start calling and barking at a lion's cage, you're in for trouble. That's all I'm saying.
Are you? Let me ask you this: do you feel you're a gatekeeper or? No, you're still in your prime where you can give these guys. Right. So I want you to correct it. How do you feel?
I mean, I'm still a gatekeeper. I'm a guy that has my name, obviously, because of my accomplishments, what I've done in boxing. But I'm also a fighter that has, a lot to yet prove in boxing. So, so the way I feel like they're seeing me is as a good name that they could put on his resume, obviously knowing that I've been off for some time, they feel like it's a great opportunity to basically beat me. If they had a chance, it would be right now that I'm an inactive. So I think that's what the company feels like, wanted to face me. So, it is what it is. I want to, like I told you, if it's not Ryan, regardless, I'm coming back strong. I'm coming back big, and, I cannot wait.
How do you feel about Jorge Linares saying, I don't even know who did the interview, and it was some good questions they had asked him. I wish I knew who did the interview was. If I can find out, I'll tweet it out for everybody that's listening. But how do you feel about Jorge Linares saying about Ryan Garcia? Because he picked everybody else. He picked, you know, he wanted a rematch with Lomachenko. He wants to, you know, he wants to fight Gervonta Davis next, then Devin Haley. And then when they asked him about Ryan Garcia, he said Ryan Garcia doesn't have a belt. He has to get a belt. Then he can earn a shot to fight me. What do you think and feel about, do you agree with Jorge Linares on that sense? Or do you, are you
100%.
Like, no, you
100%. 100%. I'm sorry, I kept interrupting you. 100%.
No, no.
Listen, the only reason anyone would want to fight Ryan Garcia is because of his name, not because of what he's done in boxing, because he hasn't done shit. And I keep saying it, and it's true. He hasn't done shit. But just his name. If you take away the name, there's a lot of champions out there that don't have names. Like, you know, Jermaine Herring, you know, he's not a big name, but he's a world champion, and he's a great fighter. Even Jojo Diaz, you know, I mean, he's a great fighter, but he doesn't have the following that this kid has, you know. So that's basically what this kid has an advantage, that he has a big following on social media, and we're calling it how it is. But has he done anything in boxing? No, nothing. I mean, and it's just the honest truth. So when you give Linares fighters who pick you, obviously you're going to go for the top dogs, which are, you know, Lomachenko, you know, Teofimo Lopez, the title holders, basically, you know.
Right.
But nowadays, you know, a big name like Ryan Garcia should be on your list because of the name, but not the top fighters that you should fight. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, you make perfect sense. You know what I'm trying to make sense of? Do you think, honestly, now, because of this new generation that brings this large audience? I mean, Ryan Garcia, like you mentioned earlier, has touched into the YouTube. I mean, he's an Instagram phenom. I mean, this kid brings a massive, massive, massive amount of audience. Do you think that this it's starting to become we're starting to walk into an area that there's a strong possibility that some of these fighters are not going to need these titles, because those titles, I mean, they mean something to put, you know, for you, because it's the accomplishment and it's the traditional way of recognizing a fighter because they're a champion. But do you think we're kind of treading into some unknown territory with these, you know, social media fighters like Ryan Garcia? I hate to call him a social media fighter because he is a real fighter.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you a perfect example. We are, man. And it's sad. You know, it's sad. I don't know what boxing is turning into. But if it's going that route, you know, well, thank God I'm on my way out, you know. But listen, these kids, these YouTubers, I don't even know their names, that fought not too long ago on the Zone, they brought a big crowd, bro. They big numbers, big crowd,
right?
Big money for the company. Were they fighting for a world title? Hell no. They're not even fighters. They're YouTubers. I think one of them was Paul something. So you know who I'm talking about.
Logan.
They brought in a different crowd. We're talking about, they brought in YouTubers. They brought in rappers. They brought in people that, you know, famous people, you know, and that's just being real. They brought in a good crowd and a sold out arena for them to see them to fight. And it was sad. I can't remember who fought that night, but there were champions or fighters that done shit in
that
boxing
do it
that
for
were
real.
Undercards. There were undercards for this fight that I was like, oh my God, really? Like, oh shit. Like, you know, that's, I'm sorry, but that's sad. You know, if you're a world champion and you're an undercard for these kids, that's kind of disrespectful. But again, that's me thinking. I get it. You know, we're living in a new generation, a new way of watching boxing, and you know, it is what it is. But yes, we are.
It is, man.
Happy. It's changing, like you just said. I think we're on a way of, you know, people that. And that's why you have a lot of kids nowadays, fighters, you know, and I don't blame them, you know, filming, and I do it too, you know, filming my training, you know, putting stuff on social media, because it's not just us, it's our PRs, you know, publicists telling us, like, Amir, you got to put more on your social media, you got to do this, because it's the thing now. You have to do that
right.
To let yourself known. You're not before, and I was still part of it. You know, before it was a note on the newspaper. Oh, you came out on the newspaper, Emmer. That's amazing, you know. But now we live in the like, oh, you're trending. You're on Twitter, you know. So I'm an old school generation, bro.
You know what baffles me is your PR is telling you got to get on there more often. You got to do this, you know, on social media. Well, here's the thing. Tell me if I'm wrong, but if eventually, because everybody's now doing their own PR, there's going to be a lot of these public relations going out of a job, because what purpose would you have them? If you got to do all the legwork to get yourself, market yourself, get your face out there to the world, why are you going to pay somebody 10, 15% to do something you're already doing, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You know, let me ask you, how do you feel about, because right now, I mean, that division you're in, either south or north, I mean, it's stacked, okay? But what's your feelings and your thoughts about like, guys that are still telling each other, like, I mean, look, right now on Twitter, because obviously we're not going to get fights for quite some time, probably not going to get back to normal until next year. But how do you feel about these guys like Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, Jorge Linares, Lomachenko, Timofo Lopez? I mean, Lopez and Lomachenko are going to fight, but the rest of everybody else is just pointing out who they would fight, but then it kind of dissolves away on after social media, you know, forgets about it. How do you feel about these guys not fighting each other, not pressuring their promoters to sign a contract to get in the ring?
You know, I can't really get into that. Like, you know, that's their own personal, you know, way of doing things. They're all great fighters. And when people tell me that, you know, the question basically of why is, you know, why are these guys calling each other out and this and that? Well, why not? You know, it's entertaining and it's a quarantine, bro. Like,
right.
You know, everybody's there fight. And you know, we're itchy to get in the ring. And when you see a message or a tweet from someone, you know, it gets you going. It boils you up. And that's what's happening with these guys. You know, everybody's calling everybody out, and it's entertaining. I don't blame them. I don't blame myself. You know, we're itchy to get back in the ring, and hopefully sooner than later. I like what Dana White did with the UFC. I was a big doubter when they were saying that, you know, the fight was going to be kept. I'm like, nah, trust me, it's going to get canceled. You know, and then obviously when one of the fighters came out positive for COVID, I'm like, oh, here, see, like, you know, they're going to cancel the whole thing, but they didn't. And it was a great, I think it was a fantastic way of bringing a sport back, you know, regardless if it's UFC, if it is what it is, you know, it's back. And I was one of the many watching this fight. And the way it was, you know, with no audience and just, you know, just a different way of watching a fight was intrigued. You know, I was intrigued by it, but at the same time, I was like, man, I can see myself fighting like this. You know, I've read interviews with fighters saying that, oh, I can't. I would just wait when there's a crowd. Like, man, you were an undercard at one point in your career. Your life, you know, when nobody was there. I remember fighting when I was the undercard of the undercard of the undercard, and then the only people that were in the arena was my family. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, don't come at me with you know, you need a packed arena in order to fight, because I mean, I get it. It gives you big time energy. It's electrifying having the crowd, you know, being there. But if it's meant to come back little by little with no audience, you know, so be it. I'm in line to be one of the first ones to try it.
Oh man, I would love that. I don't see the problem. You know, I had said on Twitter, like, look, I go to gyms, I watch guys spar. And a lot of the times, you know, that saying there, like, go 60%, but shit, you always see guys that smokers go over 100, you know, even in sparring when the other guy's not supposed to damage the dude, 'cause he's got a fight in 2 months. You know, so I don't see the major issue. But, you know, then again, like, I agree with you. You know, some fighters do need
and I'm gonna give
that
you an idea.
Energy.
I'm going to give you a great idea if you guys want to do this or not. But back in the days when I was coming up, there was this show called Gym Wars.
Right,
and,
from
and
Max Boxing.
Exactly. So, you know, I see that coming back. And what basically, for the audience that don't know what that is, basically they would go and commentate a sparring session. So I remember
right.
This was in L.A. Boxing Gym, and I was one of the few fighters that were like, oh, so today we have Evermar sparring, you know, so-and-so, you know, 4, 5, 6 rounds. And there were wars, bro, and it was more entertaining than any other, you know, professional fight, you know. So I can see that coming back inside the gyms.
Yeah, you know, a lot of kids that didn't have a chance to see the Inca, Edwin Bellario. I mean, you go to the Gym Wars on Max Boxing,
yeah.
You could see a lot of fights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know. So let's move on. This is something else I want to talk to you about. Your career was, like I said, when you were with Golden Boy, you were fighting the who's and the what's, everybody. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you left. You went with Al Haymon after the divorce. I've always wondered, bro. I always wanted to ask you, why did you opt to leave Golden Boy? What was there not a better offer on the table from Golden Boy? And
there
Al
was
just
no
kind of, you know,
period.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. So that's another thing. Like, people talk shit, like, you know, without knowing facts and without knowing anything. And it's not me talking shit at them. Like, it's, I'm just telling the truth. Because people are shooting at me, you know what I'm saying? So I gotta mm-hmm. say what it is, and I didn't forcibly left them or got out of a contract. My contract ended, you know, 5 years were up, and I said, hey, you know, and I sat down with Oscar and I sat down with the whole Golden Boy team. PBC is knocking on my door; they want to sign me, you know. But you guys were good to me, and something that I am I'm always gonna hold a grudge for. And always going to feel, you know, some type of way towards Golden Boy is that they never, ever mentioned me or recognized me as their first full-grown world champion that I was.
Yeah.
And that I became.
Yeah.
I was their first world champion. When the company started, it was me. Abramat is the first world champion Golden Boy had. Look
yep.
it up. But do they ever mention that? Hell no. Did they put me up against all the fucking top dogs and basically wanted me to lose? Hell yeah, you know? And that's what they want to for you, especially on your way when you're about to finish your contract. Why? Because you're going to be worth less if you lose. But, you know, little
right.
that they knew that I was going to win the whole tournament and I was going to come back, going to be good, you know? And, again, going back to that, I said, hey, Oscar, you know, boom, boom, boom. PBC is on my door. What's going on? Hey, I got you, Admiral. No, we're going to sign you. We're going to treat you like nah, I'm not even going to say you exactly what he told me, but I don't want to bring more drama. But he did tell me that there was a contract coming. I waited a week. No contract. Oscar, where's the contract? Email it to me. Oh, yeah, I'm going to send it to you. No contract. Hey, Oscar, let's meet up better, Admiral. Okay. Nah, I just got tired of it. You know, I have to feed my family. I was in fighting during that time, and I said, you know what? I didn't even tell him anything. I just went ahead and signed with PBC. There. And all of a sudden, Abner's a bad guy. Abner left Golden Boy. Abner betrayed
right.
Golden Boy. Abner, you know, he's the worst, you know. But little did they know or knew that there was never a contract, and I just had to go my way. Contract is over. Better deal, better company. I'm gone, and that's what it
right.
is, you know. But I'm good with Oscar. I'm good with the whole Golden Boy crew. I mean, even though they did kick me out of
I was gonna ask
it,
what happened there. What happened there? I knew. So this is you commentating. This is you now media working for
yeah,
BBC
I was working for
and
Mundo
at a Golden Boy. Man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened there? Who came up to you and told you, hey, you got to go?
Yeah, I'm not going to say names who pointed me out and who said who kicked me out, but
who ratted you out?
Yeah, but the security guard
right.
did come up to me and said, "Hey, you know, you have to leave. You're not allowed here." And I showed him my badge because I had a media credential, and I said, "Yes, I am. Here's
right.
my credential." I was working for Telemundo at the time. Like, "Oh, yeah, but you know, the company doesn't want you here. You got to get out." So they basically escorted me out of the media center, and it sucked. You know, I felt embarrassed. I felt that one of the few times where I felt like really, really low, you know, like, you know, it was just a moment where I was like, fuck, really, like, what's going on? And everybody looking at me and, you know, like, what's going on, Edmund? And people was even were trying to stop him, you know, like, yo, what are you guys doing?
Right.
That's the champ. That works for Telemundo. And he just kicked me out, bro. And you know,
bro.
So
he got to.
Hey, who's the bad guy, you know? I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't even talking bad about their fighter. I think it was Canelo fighting that night. And I was praising Canelo,
right.
And I was saying that he to win, and you know, but it is what it is, man. You know.
Do you look back? Let me ask you this: do you look back and go, man? I wish, because you know, I mean, social media was around, you know, when that happened, and there was an uproar, but it wasn't like massive like it would be today. Do you look back and go, man? I wish I would have done what Ryan Garcia did, because that's how Ryan to me and everybody else saw it when he started having his fit with Golden Boy. Do you think back and go like, man, I should have done that. I should have did what Ryan Garcia did. Maybe I would have gotten that deal. Maybe I would have gotten a better deal. Or you're just perfectly fine and happy with where you're at now.
No, I'm blessed, man. I'm happy where I am. I'm really blessed, and I'm always gonna. And that's one thing what people have to understand. Remember, there was a time where every freaking fighter will thank Al Haymon after their fights or before their fights. Remember
yeah.
that when PBC
yeah.
first started, I think they thank Al Haymon before they thank God. I want to thank Mr. Al Haymon.
Right.
Oh yeah, and God too. You know what I'm saying?
right.
Because this man really took care of us, man. This guy was taking care of all the fighters, you know. And
now, taking care
we
of
were
guys, all, can you give you guys more money, right? That's what you mean, or more than that. Right.
You know, when you're coming out of a company and then you start getting paid, like, stupid money, man, you're like, what the, like, you know, I just wasted 5 years of my career, you know. But it is what it is, you know. That's why all these fighters that are in PBC, you know, there's optional. There's fighters, obviously, that were not happy. It happens in all companies. But I think 99%
right.
of the people that are in PBC, they're happy with their pay. They're happy with the treatment. They're happy with everything that's going on and how they treat them. And at the end of the day, it should be that way. You know, a company should be a family. You know, you should be. And that's where I tell Mr.
Right.
Al, like, I'm gonna end my career at PBC, and then after this, I still want to work with you and for the company because I'm grateful and I'm happy, you know. It's a family. I love Sylvia. I love Mr. I love all the crew. I love everybody at PBC. We're a family, you know. Right now, when all this COVID-19 happening, we message each other. You know, how you doing? How's everybody? How's the family? That's who we are. We take care of each other. So to answer your question, if I should have done the route Ryan did, you know, and thrown a fit and, you know, gone, you know, and gone a better contract with Golden Boy. Nah, him, I'm happy where I'm at. Period.
Well, let me ask you, how was your feelings about Ryan airing out the dirt? Even like Canelo did the same thing. What was your
yeah.
thoughts and feelings about that?
No, you know, they did the right thing. They honestly did the right thing. You know, Ryan Garcia, I know his manager. I think I talked to Ryan's manager more than he does, honestly. I know him really good. Canelo, what he did, amazing. World record, you know, contract, what he got with the zone.
Right.
It's amazing. It's great, and it's no one hating on no one here. It's good for boxing, you know what I'm saying? It's good for them, and I'm glad they went their route. So, another thing, people that are saying that, you know, I'm trying to get a payday with Ryan, you know, that's just
mm-hmm.
facts. Ryan just started getting paid less than a year ago, you know, before I knew he was getting paid
right.
a shitty money. And again, but I get it, you're nobody yet, but at the same time, you're bringing in a lot of people. So he thought he was like, you know, I'm selling tickets, I'm bringing crowd, like, I need to get paid, and that's exactly what he did, and that's exactly what his manager, my friend, did for him. He got him a crazy contract, a multi-million-dollar contract, and that's good
yeah,
for him. You know,
yeah.
and I'm
yeah.
happy for him. I'm a kid. You know, he works hard. It takes time too. You know, posting on social media and all that shit, like, it takes time. It's you know, I'm not hating on him. So
I give it to that little cabron. He pulled it off, man. He did a great job marketing himself. I mean, he did everything that Golden Boy should have done. I mean, he already had it. He was doing it already, you know. But let me ask you this, because you said that, you know, I mean, PBC is a family. You guys are still texting each other. Are you, I mean, is Al Heyman texting you? Are you texting Al Heyman or is just everybody out?
I call Mr. Al Heyman. I don't text him. I call Mr. Heyman. Mm. Out of respect.
So has he given you, has he, because one of our guys that are listening right now, Nato, he asked, when does Abner anticipate the PBC returning with live boxing? Have you heard anything yet on your end?
No, I don't. I don't like to give fight fans hopes on dates because, you know, when they're not talked about yet, why throw them out? So, no, I haven't heard anything. I do know that we're being patient and everything's going to come back. They're working on something, but I don't know what dates. And then going back to the Ryan thing, I did call Mr. Al and I said, hey, Mr. Al, you know, this. And it's like, I know, I heard, boom, boom, boom. What do you want to do? I said, if this kid wants to fight and the money's good, let's do it. So that's where I'm at. And that's why I tweeted what I tweeted. I said, the ball's on your side now. The ball's on your side, kid. You know, do you do what you have to do? Make the calls you have to make and, you know, get back at me. You know, till this day, I still haven't received anything. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And if it, like I said, if it doesn't happen, if it doesn't end up happening, you know, it doesn't hurt me in any way. You know, I have my company, I have my people that are, you know, working on a return date for myself. So we'll see what happens with that. And, you know, that's something that I take pride in as far as always wanting to make a fight. If I see a fight and people want it, I fight for it. You know, with the Tank fight, I was the one that made that fight happen. You know, with the Leo fight, I told Mr. Rao I wanted a second. As a matter of fact, I'm telling Mr. Rao I want a third fight. It could happen, you know. Despite me losing twice against Leo already, they were close fights. They were good fights, you know what I'm saying? So I told him, hey, can you get the third fight? And that's why he said, hey, you know, if Leo beats Tank or any of these guys, you know, you're up next. So I'm good, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm happy with my career. I'm happy with my company. I'm happy where I'm at. And it's just a matter of patience and hoping that boxing comes back sooner than later.
Let me ask you one last question here. So the fallout with Golden Boy, have they reached – I mean, you know, even after escorting you out of their event, have you guys came across each other and had things been – you know, settled, like you guys are in good terms, or is it still like, you know, hey, what's up? Like, you're cordial. That's it.
Yeah. I'm cordial towards everyone, bro. My parents, I was raised differently. You know, my parents tell me, you know, that the best way to, you know, I don't know how to say properly in English, but, you know, is you know, he said, me, I'm going to say, like, you know, que la mejor manera de hacerle ver a alguien mal es saludarlo, you know, even if you don't like them, they don't like you, it's cordially just saying hi, and that's just basically slapping their face and make them feel that, hey, you know, we're human beings.
My mom
you know,
used to say
it
that,
is
bro.
It's just, So I'm gonna tell you, I didn't end in the best terms and best relationships with my old manager, Frankie. And why am I bringing him, you know, to this conversation? Well, because I do that every time I see the man, I shake his hand and I say hello, because he helped me, you know, to a point, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm not going to talk bad about the person. So, you know, if he doesn't want to shake my hand or he doesn't want to say hi, you know, that's his personal thing, you know, but I always do. So if I see a Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya, I shake his hand, I say, how you doing, sir? All the Golden Boy people, you know, regardless of, you know, what they said about me or what they still are or what they're doing, I don't hold any grudge, you know. Everybody lives differently. Even though I'm going to tell you another story.
Go ahead.
And the reason is that she's a good friend of mine. Her name is Monica Sears. She worked for
Monica
a company
Sears,
many,
right.
She worked for a company many years. Dear friend of mine, you know, when I first started, she was there. And you know who's the one of
she's
the persons
scary,
that kicked me out? Huh? She's scary, yeah, I know. But she did her job, bro. She got paid.
I know she did.
She was getting paid for
what
I know. A lot of people said she was a bitch. She was like, she was, because she got paid to be that person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Silvani because he's a dear friend of mine. And when I heard she got fired, I was like, wow, you know, that's just sad. And I'm going to tell you why, because a lot of people don't know this one. When Canelo fought Chavez Jr., I was with Chavez Jr., because I've known his father for many years. I know Chavez more than I know Canelo, that's being honest. So I was in the corner. So I was in the dressing room prior to the weigh-in. So we were pumping him up. You know, we're talking. Like, ah, come with me.
Right.
Let's go. Let's go up on the stage, you know, for the weigh-in. Cool. So I'm following them. Boom. I get stopped by Monica, my friend, my amiga,
oh,
my comadre. Like, Amber, you can't. You got to get down. You got to get down the stage. Like, mom, like, what the fuck? It's me, Amber. Like, what's going on? Amber, I'm sorry. I'm doing my job, Amber. Like, please listen. Be a friend and just go down. Like, you can't. So,
damn.
Later, yeah, that was hurtful. I remember I stopped talking to her for weeks. And then she reached out to me and she's like, you got to understand, Amber, this is my job. Like, you know, they told me that you couldn't be up there. They were mad because you were there, you know. Again, I was like, fuck, that's. I get it, you know, it's a job. Like, I'm not going to have her risk her job because, you know, of a rinche, you know, just throwing a fit. I'm like, nah, it's okay, man. So,
No, go ahead, finish your story, and I'll tell you what my thoughts.
Years later, when I heard she was fired, I'm like, fucking bitch. Like, you know, like, that sucks, bro. Like, you know, after she did all the dirty work for you guys, you know, you guys are going to fire her. But, again, everybody knows the reason. I'm not going to get into the – I don't even know why they fired her, to be honest. But I just feel like, man, this was one of your troopers. This was one of the riding, you know, hard-died, you know, troopers that was always repping your company everywhere she went. She wouldn't even talk to me when I first signed with the other company. She's like, oh, that's fucked up. I'm about to laugh. Like, she was defending the company. I'm like, man, you got to understand, too. So when I heard she left and they kicked, she got fired, I was like, damn, that sucks. You know, that's like, but again, I don't know the reasons. I don't know why, but you know, I don't really share that.
Well, you know, you telling me all this, you telling me all of this, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not getting the Ryan Garcia fight, bro. You better just forget about that. They're not going to. I'm kidding, Golden Boy. I'm kidding, bro. You know I don't got no beef with you guys either. You know,
at the end of the day, look, listen, it's not about, you know what I'm saying, and it's not me talking shit. It's not, basically, it's not, because the company's gonna continue. They're still growing. They still have a Ryan Garcia. They still have the Linares. They still have, oh man, Virgil Ortiz, bro. He's a beast, man. That guy. They take him right.
Yep.
To be the next Canelo, bro, no lie. So they have good
and
arsenal. They have
what I like about them.
Regardless of, you know, what I'm sharing, and I'm not sharing anything. I'm not sharing anything to put down the company. I'm just saying, you know, because you asked me how I felt when they kicked me out. How can I not sign? I told you why not. And that's it. You know, it is what it is. And I told you, the Ryan Garcia fight, it really is up to Golden Boy, yes, but it's also up to the zone. So if Eddie Hearns, you know, wants this fight to happen and he offers, you know, good money and he wants it, this, he sees that this fight has potential, you know, pay-per-view or any type of big event, you know, they'll make it happen, bro, regardless of what relationship or whatnot, you know, if he said this, if he said that about my mama, like, you know, money talks at the end of the day. And we all know that.
Absolutely. I you know, I don't see Eddie passing on it. You know what I mean? I think Eddie's going to take on anything right now because of where we're at and because they're going to need content for DAZN. I mean, so many folks are complaining about DAZN. There's no new content being put up regardless. I mean, ESPN Plus, I mean, if you're buying that, I mean, at least you're getting, you know, new stuff. Every other day there's something put up there. DAZN is just basically blah right now. There's nothing there. Hey, and bro, I want to thank you again, man, for coming on, bro. I really appreciate it, bro, and your honesty and you know, opening up here on Leaving the Ring, bro. You know, I wish you and your family all the best, and stay safe out there, bro. And we'll soon have you on here again, man, to talk and chop it up. Hopefully, we'll get you back on. You'll be signed on to either fight Ryan Garcia or anybody else, bro, because, man, I mean, you're a beast in the ring, and obviously you're a beast outside of the ring, brother.
Thank you. We'll see what happens, bro, because, you know, we'll see what happens, you know.
Right.
Thank you for having me on. It went by quick, man. We're already in the 50 minutes. And, you know, it doesn't even seem that way. you're having a good conversation. You know, it just goes like that. And appreciate your time, Face, and you know, bless you on and your family too, and also your station, bro. You know, keep doing your thing, and hopefully we get boxing back, bro, because that's all we're urging for boxing
exactly,
to come back.
Exactly, brother. There you go. Abner Mars here on Leaving the Ring. You know, just laying it out there. He's leaving it in the ring here on the Leaving the Ring Network. Thanks again, Abner.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Man, great conversation with Abner Mars, man. I've had him on quite some time. When he was, you know, in that Bantamweight tournament, I had him on all the time. I had Ed Beckel, Yanni Perez. You know, everybody that was part of that tournament and Showtime Bantamweight tournament, I had Abner on. And, you know, I mean, he's always been a good interview. And I think this time, though, for me, this was the more raw Abner Mars. And I think, you know, the older you get, the more like, you know, I'm going to let some things go because he was really PC in the beginning, which obviously you're going to be because you're not really used to talking to people, media people, you know, that are just throwing questions at you like a dagger. But he got on here, man. I think with a lot of stuff he said, just to make point this out really quick, you know, I didn't want to do any, there is no, in my end, there's no Golden Boy bashing. I don't think Abner Morris was doing any Golden Boy bashing as well. I think he was just expressing his feelings of what happened between the two. We always have Golden Boy fighters on here, you know, so I don't want to get anybody's feathers ruffled up. In this interview. That was not my intention. My intention, as always, is to bring out the truth and for everybody to get a chance to hear one side of someone's story. And like always, I'm always going to try to bring the other person's side of the story and stuff, you know. So, but it was great stuff, man. I appreciate everybody that tuned in, came on with me here on Leaving the Ring. Don't forget, we do put up content as much as we can every week. There's at least 3 to 4 shows that we put up here on the Leaving the Ring Network on YouTube and also in our podcasting. If you haven't yet, please hit that like button and subscribe to us and make sure you hit that notification button so you know when we're up here on live. And that's about it, fellas. I hope everybody has a great, great Friday, great weekend. I think we have a show happening. I think we have a show happening this Saturday. I'm not really sure. Or Sunday. I think we're going to be doing the Beers boxing in quarantine. I'm not for certain yet. I haven't talked to Johnny Zig yet. But I will definitely be back. And again, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Leaving the Ring.